Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. We continue the study through John chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with the 15th verse today. Tremendous power in these verses of Scripture. I've enjoyed studying them this week. John chapter 3. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for those powerful words. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Please help us to understand that it is the most valuable, precious things that we have in this life is your word and the opportunity to give that word out. And so please that you will guide and lead us and strengthen us today. And let us proclaim your word with freedom and with power. And Father, please, as we studied in the Sunday school class, the hearing. There's hearing. We can hear and not listen. Please today that all that are here, that all have their ears turned and tuned to you, and that we will hear your power and your strength. We will witness it, we will experience it, and we'll begin, Father, to proclaim your word with power and with strength. Our light will shine so brightly, dear Lord. Please show us your word today. Father, if folks are here that don't know you as their Savior, there's probably not going to be another lesson ever taught, words ever preached that are clearer than what this is. And so please, Lord, once again, turn their ears to you. Help us to hear. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Whosoever. Many a church, many a people that believe that there are only a chosen few that can be saved. What a lie. What a deception. Whosoever. Who does that eliminate? Who does that take out of the equation when it says whosoever? No one. Anyone. Everyone has the opportunity of salvation. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only anyone and everyone can be saved, but everyone needs to be saved. There is no one that's going to get a free ticket to heaven. There is no one that's going to be able to just say, I'm good enough. Because the only way, and it is a free way, but it is by believing in Jesus Christ. By faith in Him alone. That is the only way. Whosoever. Believing here is not just something that you believe in your head. A lot of people have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They believe that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, that He lived here upon this earth, and He lived for 33 years. He died on the cross, and He died for man's sin. They believe that. But they just believe it up here. They lack the personal relationship in their heart. Those words are not preached today in most churches. The means of salvation is not clear. In all of my earlier days, I did not hear the gospel, and I was in church every Sunday. Never heard the gospel. How can you be in church and not hear the gospel? And so for almost 59 years, there has been churches, and it goes way beyond that in years, that the gospel is not presented in many, many churches. So sad, because the call goes forward. Whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, should not perish. That word perish means not to be lost. Not to be lost. You are lost today if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in order to be saved, whosoever believeth in the heart, in him, shall not perish. There's another gift given there. Not only will we not be lost, but we are given eternal life. Double blessing. Not lost and eternal life. What an opportunity. What a joy today that we have. You know, two weeks ago, we talked about the brass serpent and how that when those snakes would bite anyone, all they had to do was look up to the brass serpent that was lifted up in the middle of the camp. And the Lord Jesus said, as it was lifted up, so will I be lifted up. And you need to look to the cross of Calvary for salvation. And so it's exactly the same. Now, who could look to that serpent and be saved, their life be saved? Whosoever. Whosoever would look to that brass serpent would live. Whosoever refused, did not believe, died. Same today. Whosoever will look to the cross of Calvary and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation will live. Whosoever refuses to look to the cross of Calvary will die, is lost, will perish. The Word of God is so clear, and yet it is so neglected. We shall be saved. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to turn there with me if you would please. Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Matthew 16, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing you can give in exchange. You need just to come by faith. Today the world is set upon money and wealth and possessions. They are not willing to turn loose with those possessions to have Jesus. They think that they're going to have to give up so much to accept Jesus and to be a Christian. And it's just the opposite. You gain so much by being a believer in Jesus Christ. You gain so much. As we continue to look at these verses back in John chapter 3, we continue with another whosoever in the 16th verse. But that 16th verse, John 3:16, is probably one of the most powerful verses of Scripture in all the world. In any words that has ever been stated, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So much of a repeat of the 15th verse. But God in his wisdom makes it so much clearer. 15, whosoever believeth in him, Jesus. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And once again, whosoever. So in two verses we have whosoever. In the 15th verse it's very clear. In the 16th verse it's all the more clear. This is the gospel in a nutshell. It's been called. this verse of Scripture, if you never heard another verse of Scripture, is so packed with power that all you have to do is hear it. If you'll hear these words and respond, if you'll hear these words and believe, that's all you need to do. And yet we have a multitude of folks that refuse to listen. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11 tells us, saying to them, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" You see, back in the days of Ezekiel, he was pleading with his own people, Israel, that they would listen and believe. Israel is the chosen of God. Israel is the ones that God handed to them. The law, and more important than the law, was the tabernacle, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They had such a clear picture of that in their day, and yet they refused it. And again, those scripture verses, "For why will ye die?" All you have to do is turn. Why will ye die? And that's the same condition today of the world. Why will ye die? What a simple question. And that scripture tells us that God clearly says that I have no pleasure, none, in the wicked. I have no pleasure when they die. You know, we sometimes, we've had Al-Qaeda leaders that have been responsible for killing thousands of people and thousands of Americans. And when we catch them, we tend to rejoice over such a victory. Now, to catch them and to try them and to condemn them is one thing. But when they die without Jesus, we shouldn't rejoice. The death penalty is scriptural. We should put them to death. But we shouldn't be happy about it. God knows evil has to be put to death. You know, God said when they took the land of Canaan, go in, destroy them, kill them. Now, a lot of people God is a God of love. Why did God command Israel to kill all the Canaanites? Because God knew their hearts. And God knew that there wasn't a one of them going to get saved. And God knew that the influence of the wicked would come to Israel and destroy Israel, and it did. God knows the heart. And that's the reason God clearly says when a man takes another man's life, that man has to die. That man has to die. And we find that mankind in all our kindness has changed God's rules, changed God's ways. God says, do it. But we should not rejoice over that death if that person wasn't saved. God doesn't. The most wickedest person that's ever lived, God gets no pleasure in the death of that person. That's how much love God has and how much God wants all to be saved, no matter what kind of destruction that they have caused here on this earth. God desires they get saved. And if they don't, when they die, He gets no pleasure in it. We should not either. the desire that we should have is that all should be saved. Can the most wicked that's ever lived be saved? Yes. Whosoever. It's that simple. Whosoever. The believing in the heart. There are scripture verses that can help us to understand what that's talking about. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he tells them, in the 1 John, that is those books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, are written to believers. We need to know when the letter is written to the lost or the believers, the saved. This was written to the believers. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a verse of Scripture confirming the Holy Spirit living in your heart. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Are you realizing the love that God has for this world? God in his foreknowledge knows exactly who is going to be saved and who isn't. So why didn't he just die for those and take their sins away? Why waste the time, waste the effort to take the sins of all the world away when he knew who was going to be saved? That proves to us God's love. Because if he would have just died for them, then there would have been a multitude that would never, he could not say whosoever. God says, whosoever. He died for every sin of every sinner that has ever lived and ever going to live. When we look now at these words, for God so loved the world, I don't think that you'll ever find any more power in two single letters of one word in the English language, anywhere, anytime, as that word, so. So loved. So loved. Now, if you think about that, there are not enough words in all the languages of all the world to explain God's love to us, to the world. Understand that any time when God uses in his word the word world, it always stands for the lost. Never in his word does he refer to his church or a saved individual, Old Testament or New. Never does he refer to them as the world. So anytime when you read in the scripture that word world, understand he is talking to the lost. And so right here, for God so loved the world, the lost. He's talking about the lost here. He's not talking about the child of God. He's talking about the lost. That's how much he loved us. Lost, miserable, separated from him. There is no language, there is no words that could explain the depth, the height, the length, or the breadth of his love to us. And so he placed that two-letter word, so. He loved God, so loved the world, so. Not only is there enough words in all the language to explain God's love for us, nor is there enough wisdom in the world to understand how much God loved the world, the lost and dying world. No wisdom nor words can explain The only time we're going to understand such a love and such a power and such a strength is the day that we are face to face with our Lord and Savior. Then we will be able to see. And then when we will be able to understand His great love. God so loved the world that He gave. So not only the word soul gives us such an impact and a power, but then that four-letter word at the end, gave. Gave. Words are cheap. Words are cheap. How many times folks say they're gonna do something? They're gonna help you with this and help. I can do this, but comes to the work, you never see them. Words are cheap. Words are cheap. Action, that's something else. God produced action. He gave to this world, lost people, all of us at one point in time. He gave to all the world, every individual that's ever lived or ever going to live, He gave His only begotten Son. Some of the new versions, and that's the reason you'll never see me have them, say, His only Son. His only Son. Begotten. Only begotten Son. If your Bible says only Son, throw it away and get a good one. Only begotten Son. God proves His love by not just giving something that is of no value. He gave to us something that cannot be marked with value. It is so valuable. He gave to us His greatest value. His greatest. Here on earth, ourselves, the only thing that we could give, you would think first would be your own life. Or it is actually a greater love to give one of your children. Who here has that much love that you could pay the debt of one sinner by giving up one of your children? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. All right. He gave something of the greatest value of ever. Nothing more valuable. In heaven or earth, nothing more valuable. And what did He tell us that's going to cost us? Give us your wealth. Give me all of your belongings, and I will give to you salvation. That in itself would be a bargain. What would be more valuable? What did we just read back in Matthew? Have all your riches and lose your soul? So even to give everything up would still be a bargain. But He doesn't call us to do that. He gives the greatest gift ever. And all we have to do is believe. Whosoever. We're back to the whosoever. God gave His Son to pay the sin debt. God gave Jesus to the lost, to the sinful world. The world deserves hell. The world deserves damnation. The world deserves condemnation. How arrogant people are today to think that they don't need Jesus. That they have no need for Jesus. How prideful. How arrogant. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." In verse 14 of John chapter 3, we find that He is the Son of Man in the 14th verse. And now in this verse, verse 16, He is the Son of God, the only begotten. Whosoever. Whosoever. Do you look at this text as we've been studying it now for several weeks? Are you still remembering what's going on? Or have we drug it out so long that you forgot that it's Nicodemus that come by night to the Lord Jesus because he was curious? And Jesus' first words to him is, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Well, he didn't understand. So Jesus answered again, "You must be born again." He still didn't understand. How can these things be? Verse 9 tells us. And Jesus does continue, "This being a master in Israel," the highest level of teachers in Israel. Jesus continues and he gives him some Old Testament scriptures. And then he comes back and, "Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever." And now that we get to the 17th verse, "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now those words we think of immediately in condemnation. He's coming to judge. Well, that is what they understood. And if you look, and I'm not going to take time right now, but Psalms chapter 2, verse 7 and 9, please read that. And please read Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 through 22. And then go to Revelation chapter 13. And so Psalms 2, 7 and 9, Daniel 7, 9 through 22, and Revelation chapter 13. Now, I have read those several times this week and enjoyed reading them again this morning. And what you find is that most of the people in that time and earlier than that, they concentrated on getting the Roman rule out from under them. And they knew these scripture verses. They knew the King of Kings was coming. The Lord of Lords is coming. And he's going to come and he's going to give us victory. And that's what they're waiting for. The devil had taken their religion and allowed them to study the Word of God and yet miss the cross. Miss the cross. And so there's a very good reason why the gospel isn't preached today. Why they're so focused on other things, social activities and other things that take up their time. And they don't preach this gospel. They don't tell people how to be saved. They don't tell people, it's just so simple. Just believe. Look to the cross as Moses had his people look to the serpent, the brass serpent, and live. So can you if you just look to the cross for salvation. But they don't. But they don't. Nicodemus missed it. He wanted a king. He wanted somebody to come and bring judgment about on Rome. And Jesus knew what Nicodemus needed. Nicodemus needed a Savior. That's what he needed. He needed a Savior. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Whosoever believeth in 15, whosoever believeth in 16. And now, he that believeth in verse 18. There's three questions that are answered in this 18th verse. Who is saved? Who is lost? And why the lost are lost. Those three questions are answered in this verse. And let me read it very quickly and then I'll close. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Who is saved? Who that believes in Jesus. Who's lost? Who's lost? But he that believeth not is condemned already. There's the lost. Not going to be condemned, but condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How do you get saved? Who's lost? And why are they lost? Now, how can anybody say there's just a chosen few can be saved when you have those verses of Scripture? So anybody you know, in pardonable sin, the sin that will never be forgiven, is unbelief. That's it. Anybody that goes to hell, it is not God's fault. God has given every opportunity and made it so simple. Man has confused it. Man has made it difficult. Man has complicated it. Because man, the world, is controlled and functions after the devil. Go to the Word of God. Stand upon the truth. Let's let our light shine, please. Let's close with prayer. Father, I don't know how it can be any clearer than this. These are verses of Scripture that are seldom preached in churches today, seldom taught. Because there's no decision to make. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so all saved. Come with a universal salvation. The devil doesn't just have one tool to keep folks lost. He has thousands of tools. It all leads back to one, and that's a lie. And he is the greatest of liars. And man would rather believe a lie than the truth. Please, Father, that you'll touch the hearts today of all that are here. And if they don't know you today, I can't imagine, Lord, you're so merciful. But I can't imagine that you'd give them another chance after today. But I'm man and you're God. And you're so merciful, so patient, as you wait for man to come. Father, please, please keep calling. Keep calling when we tell somebody about Jesus and they hear that call and they're saved. Please, give us your strength, give us your wisdom, give us your power, dear Lord, that we may shine and shine brightly for you. Now, please, give us peace, understanding, strength. Give the lost salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.